I'd like to say I taught him how to do that, but I can't. I'd lie. I'm going to ask you to find with me 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and we're going to be looking at chapters 12, 13, and 14, but find that 12th chapter. And we're starting a new series today of titled, Who in the Church? And this is part one. We're going to be looking at membership as our children are making their way back to junior church this morning. Thank you again for being here, and we're honored that you have chose to be here. You could have been a lot of other places this morning. In fact, I walked around the parking lot before service this morning and debated on not whether I was going to preach or not this morning, but whether I wanted to preach outside or preach in here. Man, is that good looking outside? Isn't that a gorgeous day? All right. Hope you found 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter. A Baptist preacher and his wife decided to get a new dog. Ever mindful of the congregation, they knew the dog must also be a Baptist. They visited kennel after kennel and explained their needs. Finally, they found a kennel who assured them he had just the dog they wanted. The owner brought the dog to meet the pastor and his wife. "Fetch the Bible," he commanded. The dog bounded to the bookshelf, scrutinized the books, located the Bible, and brought it to the owner. "Now find Psalm 23," he commanded. The dog placed the Bible on the floor, showing marvelous dexterity with his paws, leafed through and found the correct passage with his paws. The pastor and his wife were very impressed, and they purchased the dog. That evening, a group of church members came to visit. The pastor and his wife began to show the dog off to their friends, asking him to locate several verses in the Bible. The visitors were very impressed. One man said this, can your dog do any regular dog tricks? "I haven't tried any of those yet," the pastor replied. He pointed his finger at the dog. "Heel," the pastor commanded. The dog immediately jumped on a chair, placed one paw on the pastor's forehead, and began to howl. The pastor looked at his wife in shock and said, "Good Lord, he's Pentecostal." We're going to talk about church membership today, and here's what I know about church membership. It's based on service. The word servant occurs 57 times in the New Testament, and most of the time it reflects our role within the church. Sometimes it reflects our role in a household, but most of the time it reflects our role in the church. It's the role that we are given as Christians. Also, the word serve occurs some 58 times in the New Testament. So I think we can get a clear picture just by a large, broad overview of what the New Testament tells us, that as Christians, we are to serve. Now, it was D.C. Talk who said, "The disease of self runs through my blood. It is a cancer that is fatal to my soul." For us, there are so many voices, there are so many claims, there are so many offers to bring the idol of self to the forefront. We can push aside the call of Christ to become great in his kingdom. Our problem is that we have allowed different voices to take the place of what God has mandated as the plan for his church to the way to greatness. Now, Christ never underrated the idea of serving in his church and in his kingdom. In fact, in Mark, the 10th chapter, starting in verse 35, we have John and James who have this desire of finding out who's who in the kingdom. We want to sit on your right hand and one on your left hand. In fact, they put their mother up to asking that question. It's a passage that's very familiar to all of us. And then the others, when they hear of it, there's incense. The ten are saying, "You know what? That's not right for you to ask that, because that was a position that was for me." When they heard about it, they were incensed. And Jesus says, "Oh no, gather around me. I want to show you something here." So he gathers them around, and in verse 43 through 45, I want to read those to you this morning. So listen very carefully. "Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And may God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of his word this morning. Can I give you the practical side to this story as it relates to church membership? Now listen carefully. We will never find real fulfillment in church membership if we're constantly worshiping at the idol of self, trying to get our own way, trying to figure out what makes us happy. Most of us don't have to figure out what makes us happy. We already know what makes us happy. We're just trying to figure out how to get other people to do what we want to make us happy. See, Christ tells us that the way to find fulfillment, the way to find the greatest position in his kingdom, is to choose to serve. So those who desire to be first or think that they should be first, what it's telling us, we should be the servant of the least, the servant of the last. Now here's a statement for you, and you may want to write this down. It's not in your notes, but you may want to write this down. To be a somebody in his body, you have to be a nobody that is a somebody for God. Let me say that again. To be a somebody in his body, you have to be a nobody that is a somebody for God. In the Bible, you'll never see the word membership, yet there's a clear picture given in the New Testament. One of those sections we're going to look at this morning, I've asked you to find, is 1 Corinthians, starting in the 12th chapter. And there's four things that we're going to unpackage today that will help us find out how you can be somebody in his body. Who's who in the church? Well, to find out who's who in the church, we have to figure this out. We have to get a hold of this morning. And let's go to the next slide, please, Brian. We are part of the whole. The way the scripture pictures membership in the church is there's diversity. Sometimes we're a little afraid of that word diversity, but there is diversity in gifts. Look at verse 4 starting there. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There is difference of ministries, but the same Lord. And there is diversity of activities, but the same God who works in all. Now, three times in three verses, the Greek word diarissa is used there, and it's translated diversities. It can be translated differences. Here's what it means. It means a separation or a classification. Here, the Apostle Paul does not merely want to show that the Spirit bestows gifts, different gifts, but bestows certain gifts to certain peoples, not the same to all. That's the important thing that I want us all to remember this morning, not the same to all. Now, this is addressed to the church, and as a member who are part of a local New Testament church, I don't want you to miss this. The church is how God effectively shows the beauty of these gifts. If you really want to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to really stand out, it is through the church. It's the way that he shows the beauty of these gifts. God bless you, Robbie. Man, what a wonderful job that he did on the piano today. He showed the beauty that this God-given gift that he has been given on playing that piano. The church is effectively how he shows the beauty of the gifts. See, it's not enough that there's just this wonderful diversity of gifts, but also, the next point this morning, is there is a distribution of gifts. To me, this means two things. Now, go on down to verses 11 and 12, and let me show you something here from the Word of God, from the Word of God. But one and the same Spirit works in these things, distributing to each one individual as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Let me give you a couple things out of this that you can take to the bank this morning, because it's the Word of God. Right there, we can see no one has every gift. Now, no matter how gifted you think you are, you don't have every gift. I can remember my years over secular employment. There was a group of guys at the Kroger warehouse who called themselves the backbone of the company. And they were very good workers. Nothing to take away from everything that they did. They did do a lot, and they were very effective at what they did. But I've heard that said, by the way, in churches. In fact, I've heard it said in this church as well. People who say, we are the backbone. Well, here's what I know about the backbone in both situations. You're not going to last forever. The situation is that you will not last forever. And I really feel that God has given a diversity of gifts, because it's just not one group of people, it's not one set of members that do everything within the church. That's why there's diversity, there's a distribution, and he chooses who gets those gifts. There's no reason to even compare those gifts, because one gift may stand out above another, but a gift that is in the background but is much needed is never recognized, but it's still just as needed. Now here's the second thing we can pull from those two verses that we looked at. We need one another to make a whole. I mean, how would it be today if I was up in this pulpit preaching and I didn't have a torso? That'd look pretty weird, wouldn't it? It wouldn't function too well. See, if we look back at verse 11, we get the word works, and we get that from another Greek word, which means effectively, to be effective, or excuse me, to operate, to be able to operate. So let's be clear here what the Spirit of the living God is doing. He's telling us here that he is working in us and he is working through us. So let's put this all together for us today. There is a diversity of gifts as God distributes them. I need to cough, and I apologize for that. And now, thank you, Brian, for muting me there. He's quick on the button. All right. There's diversity of gifts as God distributes them, and he does not give one person all gifts. It is his Spirit that energizes those gifts, and because no one has all the gifts, we need one another to make the whole and to make the church whole. So I want to tell you, you're important to what is going on this morning. Now, here is a definition of the church. This is my definition of the church. The church is God's visible evidence of his power, his position, and provision for an everlasting relationship with his chosen. Just as Christ was the visible of the invisible, today, you and I, as the members of his body, we display his body. We are essentially the visible of the invisible. So here's your first takeaway this morning. It's in your notes. You can fill in, and also will be on the screen. The church is how God effectively distributes the gifts. Now let me say this morning in closing out this point. Everyone here has something to contribute. Everyone. Amen? It may be you're a prayer warrior. You know, you can't get and do certain things. You can pray. I know that there's a lot of widows in this church that pray for me personally. I'm on their prayer list. Every one of us can pray. Everyone can lift one another up to the Lord. And then there's others of us that are more visible, more out in front, those kind of things. And that's fine. But if it wasn't for the people behind the scenes, if it wasn't for everyone collectively come together, we would not have an effective church. Let me tell you, we have an effective church. 12 kids giving their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ during VBS is an effective church. That just does not happen by accident. A couple Sundays ago, we had a fine young man come forward, give his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't even preach that morning. The kids delivered the message effectively. And I'm just as happy for them being used of God in a mighty and a great way to give the message of the Lord Jesus Christ as if I would have been up here myself giving it. And we need to take that and keep hold of that, okay? Now let's talk about the next one. The next one is this. Who's who? We are to work together. Now, these things are sort of run in together, but that's the truth of the matter. What I know about myself is that I am pretty much an independent person by nature. If I'm given my choice, I'd much rather wait on myself. I'd much rather fix my own car. I would much rather cook my own meals. And I certainly do not like to be driven around. I just don't. I automatically can't. I want to drive. There's something in me. And if I'm given a choice at the airport or at a hotel, which doesn't happen a whole lot, but I want to carry my own bags. And for me, that's a sense of accomplishment. I really get a charge out of doing things for myself. Now listen very carefully what I said there. I really get a charge out of doing things for myself. those things I talked about, typically they don't benefit many other people. They benefit three people that often I find the most enamored, I'm most enamored with in my life. Me, myself, and I. And other people, they're like this. You know, I want people to wait on me. They really get a charge out of going somewhere, going on a cruise, or going to a restaurant where the service is exceptional, where somebody, oh man, they treated me like a king. I felt like royalty there. Well, can I tell you something? That both of those things really don't fit with the church. We're to serve others, and we're to receive service from others in a loving and caring way. Now, the times in my life I do like to be waited on are very few and frequent, but I do like those. But church membership from both of those mindset is completely different, because each and every one of us have our role, we have our function, and if we do not fulfill our role and our function, we have failed. Now, look, go on down to verse 12. I'm going to read a few verses for you here today. Here's what it says. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them, in the body, just as he is pleased. And if they were all one members, where would the body be? There's something in this paragraph that the Holy Spirit is trying to stress. And it's just a simple word, a simple five-letter word, and that word is unity. See, uniformity is not being stressed here. In some matters, we need to have uniformity. When it comes to certain doctrines like the virgin birth, the way to heaven, those kind of things, we need to have uniformity in those areas. But the fact of the matter is, it requires diversity, it requires different skills to get the work done, so the work does get done. I'm going to think ahead of me to the book of Revelation. It is a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're given a picture of heaven in the book of Revelation. And interestingly enough, in the book of Revelation, there's songs that are in there. There's going to be singing in heaven. And if you look in those songs, there's not one solo. See, the 24 elders, they sing and they cast their crown before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, united in the voices with countless angels, with every living creature on earth, bringing praise to him. Think about that. Those who are victorious over the beast, they have been given harps to sing a song, a new song that no one else could sing, or the angels could not sing. In every case, the multitude of people and the angels united in the same song in absolute unity. So let's take a practical look at that. Let's put shoe leather on that today. We may have solos in the music ministry, but let me remind the soloists here, you need a supporting cast. Starts with the electric company providing electric till your voice can be heard. Goes up to Brian Graham, who's monitoring it over the PA system, doing a great job with that. Requires the instruments or the track or whatever else that you're using this morning. It requires audience participation. They're listening to you. Think about it this way. In a country club, you pay other people to work for you. But who's who in the church is not that? Everyone has a role to play. Everyone has a function. That's why we're given this analogy here. Some are hands, some are feet, some are ears, some are eyes. We all are different, but undeniably part of the whole. Now, each one of us have our job to do at the church. And if we don't do that, the church as a whole suffers. There's a beautiful diversity as I look out across this congregation. It's in the midst of every healthy church. And Paul is very clear here. If one part doesn't do its job, then the whole body does not function as well as it could If one part in the body is not functioning in unison with the other parts, then the body is not going to be as blessed as it should. Here's the way I see it. If your hands create something of use and beauty, then you're going to be happy from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. So when something happens, like somebody makes a decision for Christ, when we do great things, by the way, you ought to see what's all done down in the downstairs from the work of some people's hands. You know, go downstairs. I'm challenging every member to take a walk downstairs, walk through the offices, look at all the drywall that's hanged up, and it's going to be finished sometime, hopefully this week, and begin to start painting on it. You know, that's the way it happens. And if you say, well, I didn't help with it, that's okay. That's fine. As long as you did your part, that's okay. That's fine. Your part may not be defined as such as that, but just do your part. So let me give you this. Here's the takeaway, the second takeaway this morning. Look at it very carefully. The church is how God effectively energizes you and me. I hope when you walk away today from this message, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're going to walk away with him because you've asked him to come in your heart. And second thing, I hope when you walk away from this message, you're going to realize that Pastor Mark is very big on the church. Not because he's the pastor of it, but because God's word really tells us to be big on the church. Now here's the next one. Who's who in the church? How do we delineate that? How do we tell that? Well, we are to act in love. See, there's a problem, and I've got a wedding up and coming this week on Friday, and there's a problem. Problem I've had, problem that other pastors have. It's with 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Oh, it's read at weddings. I preached it from this pulpit, and I've talked about it being the love between a husband and a wife. And while those meanings are not incorrect in nature, they still don't give the full meaning, the full context of the passage. While there's nothing wrong with using it, as I stated there, we overlook how it originally was addressed to the church, and its meaning was to demonstrate to church members. This was written to a church. Its meaning was written to show them how to interact, how to function as a body. Just imagine. Open your minds. Let's just imagine this passage, and most of us are familiar with some of the phraseology from the passage. Just imagine it being read at the next time we presented the budget of the church. Imagine it being read to my staff here, the church's staff, I should say. Imagine this being read at the next staff meeting. Oh, let's imagine this being read at the next deacon's pastor's meeting or the trustees' meeting. Don't you think things would be a little bit different? Are you getting the picture here? See, find with me this morning this 13th chapter, and I want to read the entire chapter to you this morning. Listen carefully. Paul says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or clanking cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that so I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but when I shall know, just as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And all God's people said, amen. If we could just abide by those principles, the principles that Paul set forth to a struggling church, oh, I would say that the church would have very, very few problems. See, we're not to love fellow church members just because they're lovable. I have so many here that you make it so easy to love you. You know, it's just incredible. But some of you have some people here that you really don't love so well. And probably there's a person here that doesn't really love me so well. You maybe don't like the way I look. Maybe you don't like my cologne. My wife said something about my cologne this morning. I had a little too much perfume on this morning. Maybe something that you don't like about me. See, you're not just supposed to love people because they're lovable. You love them because they're a part of your body. You know, I don't think about my fingernails and my toenails too much till my wife says to me, trim time. We trim them. But they're there. You are to pray for everyone. You're to love everyone. Well, let me go a little bit further. You are to pray and encourage me even if you don't like what I'm doing. Is that a hard one? You bet it is. That's a tough one. But we've just read the Word of God. And love never fails. Love never envies. Love endures all things. God is calling us to this. We are not to serve the church just because it's a lovable church, because we're around lovable people. We are to serve the church regardless. We are to serve even if there's others not joining in. You know, over the course of this renovation that we've been going on, a couple people have gotten a little discouraged because they felt like they were just the only person working in that area. And that can be a little discouraging. But listen, I want to say this loud and clear. We are to serve even when there are others, when others around us are not serving. They're not seeing how they should join in. Just because my arm wouldn't be working so good, I certainly wouldn't want my heart to stop functioning. Right? Think about it that way. So here's our third takeaway this morning. We can see who in the church, it's on the screen as well, through authentic, biblical, unconditional love. And all God's people said, amen. Now let me give you the fourth and final thing today. And you just got to understand this. To see who's who in the church, you've got to do your part. Everybody's got to do their part. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of different organizations that can be part of. A while back, I took time and sat down and tried to figure up all the different things I belong to, from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts to NRA, Ducks Unlimited, you name it. I've been there. I've got some membership in some other things right now. Rocky Mountain Elk Federation. You can see where my heart really lies. You know, they say find out somebody's checkbook. And you can see where their priorities lie. Well, you look at somebody's membership and things, and you'll find out where their priorities really lie. Thousands of different organizations. Some of them just require dues. Send in money, you're a member. Others require dues and service. And if you join a country club, you pretty much know this. You just pay, and they wait on you. Well, can I be clear about it this morning? There's a sad reality that says, I paid my dues in the church, therefore, wait on me. You take care of me. It's a country club mentality. I've paid my dues, now you wait on me. Let me remind you of the words of Christ back in Mark, verse 43. Yet it shall not be among you, whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. So if you want to be a nobody that's a somebody in Christ, it requires that you give abundantly. You don't think about what somebody else is doing. You serve without hesitation. I have my offering this morning, and I'm giving abundantly. I'm giving over and above my tithe. That's not a problem for me. I find joy in doing that. Sure, you can be a CEO Christian. You know what that is, Christmas, Easter only. But you can never give, you can never give and never find fulfillment in the church if that's all you're going to do. You need to understand that's not the way that the Bible defines membership. That type of membership has been birthed out of our consumer-driven culture. And frankly, folks, it's a lie. Biblical church membership gives without qualifications. Well, I'm not going to give until I know where it's going. No, it's His to start with. It views the giving of tithes and offerings as a part of worship. And it's saying that we're trusting Him because it's all His anyway. I want us to look again at the metaphor of the body. Here we go. For the body, there needs to be an understood direction. There has to be an understood direction from the body. Here at this church and with any church, the direction we are going needs to be understood. We can't have one part going one way, another part going another way. It just does not work that way. What happens when that happens is nothing gets done. That is why I feel God has given this body of believers direction. We have that defined in our membership. We believe that God has called simply us to worship, grow, and to serve. We worship God. That's what we've been created to do. In fact, if you're not worshiping God, there is such an unfulfilled part of your life that will not go fulfilled until you begin to worship Him. And worship Him is more than just what we did in the song service this morning. It's what you did the other 6 days of the week prior to today. If you find yourself getting nothing out of worship, I would suggest to you that you're putting nothing into it the 6 days prior to today. We get out of what we put into something. So if you invest nothing in God through the course of the week, don't expect to come in here and get happy feet. We believe that we're called to serve God. And by the way, when we serve God, we serve others. Christ said, how have we ministered to you? Well, you ministered to the sick and the poor. You reached out. You've done what you're supposed to do. You know, when people served this past VBS, they were serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They were serving God. But yet, it was through those little kids. The people that did, and Evelyn did a wonderful job putting all the meals together for every night. I mean, we and Jack and Rose, you come in here, that just brought food in. And then we had Mexican night. We had Italian night. What were some of the other nights we had? Soup and sound. We kept everybody fueled up. That's what it takes. Everybody doing their part. The direction of His body is that we believe that we grow in Him. We grow in our relationship with Him and with others. You can't grow closer to God and not grow closer to other people. I have found in my own walk that as the closer I get to God, the more receptive, the more easier I am with those around me. But when I'm distant from God, you know what? You don't want to be around me. Because the old Mark Wilson still rears his ugly head, and it's not a nice thing to see. My wife sees it occasionally. I'm glad she never talks about it. But it's not a nice thing to see. I'd say that you're no different than me. We need to grow in our relationship with Him. Now let me give you this next thing. All parts make the whole. In fact, I want you to say that with me together. All parts make the whole. Think about the parts that are mentioned here, some of the predominant things that are mentioned here. He talks about the foot, talks about the hand. Those are things of actions. Your hands do things, they move around, your feet propel you, they carry you to where you want to go. But then he talks about a couple other things that are not motion kind of things. He talks about the ear. He talks about the nose. Those are perceptive things. Those are discerning parts. So you've got moving parts, you got discerning parts. Each of those parts are supposed to function. They got to pay their dues. The foot is the walk, the hand is the grasp and the hole, the ear is the hear, the eye to see, the nose the smell. Let's be clear. We who are church members are to function as his hands, his feet, his ears, his eyes, and the nose of this church. Those parts make up the whole. So when I hear the term inactive member, that's one of the things I sort of get a little gritty about. Because there's really shouldn't be no such thing as inactive member. It's an oxymoron when you get to it. Because what we see in the Bible, it doesn't say anything about inactivity. The fact is, you shouldn't be a church member and be inactive. Now, there's different things we all can do. Some that are in the forefront, some that are not so much in the forefront. But every single one of those things is important. That's why it's important to know your gifts. You say, I have no gifts. Friend, you do. You have gifts, you have talents. It may only be one thing. Play that note. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower it and use it to God's glory, to his fame. When you look around this church, you see so much diversity in it. And I pray that it's going to even become more diverse. It tells a tale of the tape. It tells us that we are strong. Everyone has to function to the glory of God the Father. And when we do, man, we'll be charging the gates of hell with a water pistol. So here's your fourth takeaway today. We should be constantly asking ourselves, here you go, how best can I serve the church? There's not a role that I named this morning that is not important. Not a single one of them. There's so many that I did not name and cannot name because of time constraints. Every single one of them is important. See, the only way to tell who's who in the church is through service. That's how we find out who really matters. Not that they want to stand out in front of people, but that's how you tell. The Bible calls the members of the church to be active and moving in the same direction. So let me ask you this morning, did that describe you and your membership here? There's some people here that Matt and I and Jeff and Justin, we have to hold them back because they're doing too much. And there's others here that are gifted and talented that just aren't doing anything, that need to step forward and begin to do those things. You know, I think part of what the Lord has given me as a duty as the pastor of this church is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Friend, you've got an important role here. And when we talk to you about doing something, it's just not haphazardly thought about. I mean, it's went through some prayer. It's went through some counsel. It's went through some important things. And if we didn't ask you to do it, it may, you know, and you don't do it. If we don't ask you to do it and you don't do it, who will do it? Now, I know the Lord has people in reserve and backed up and stuff like that. That all happens. But listen, as your friend, as your pastor, as the one that God has set before you to love you and to give you from his word the best things for your life, I'm telling you, the way to complete fulfillment in life is through this church. Period. Now, it may not be this church, it may be another church, but if you're a member of his body, you're part of God's eternal kingdom, you will never be completely fulfilled until you find what it is that you need to do in his body. Amen. Let's stand. For some of you here today, you need to make that decision to be part of his body. Now, you may have been involved with different things in Christianity over the years. You may have been doing this, doing that kind of thing. But you've really never been a part of God's kingdom because you've not asked Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Today would be the perfect day to enter into his body. Not to become a member of this church, to become a member of his eternal church, his universal church. And then let the Lord work out wherever it is that he wants you to serve and act out. There's a lot of great churches out there. There's some that are not so good. But there's a lot. There's more good ones than there are bad ones. God can put you somewhere and you can be happy. You can fulfill out his purpose in your life. Would you do that today? Would you ask him to be your Lord and Savior? For others here today, you may have made a decision for Christ. You may have said, okay, I trust him. I've went through these things. I understand these things. But you've never made it public. Well, there's nothing wrong with making things public. We always talk about the good things in our life, don't we? When you made a decision for Christ, that's the best decision you've ever made in your life, and there's nothing wrong with making a public declaration of it. Say, yes, I've trusted him. Yes, I believe in him. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's the one I serve. I adore him, but he first adored me. Nothing wrong with saying that. Those are proud things to be said by a believer. Why don't you do that today? Why don't you make it public today? And there may be others here. After careful, prayerful consideration, man, you've thought about, okay, this is where the Lord wants me. I want you to see me after the service. You don't have to come forward, but you see me after the service. Say, Pastor Mark, after thinking about my family and I, we want to be a part of this church, and we want to know how to do that. And I'll share with you how to get involved with the new members class. We'll walk you through some things. And, man, when you come out of that, you either know you want to be a part of us, you're going to think, no, I don't want to be a part of that. But you need to understand what you're going to be a part of. So you see me or see one of the counselors and they'll put you toward me. But whatever the reason is today, we're going to pray here for just a few minutes and we're going to give an invitation and we're inviting you to make that decision public. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your love, for your provision. And Lord, thank you for your word. It's able to make us wise unto salvation. It's a lamp unto our feet. And how you just masterfully worked through the Apostle Paul to give this image of the body and how fitting it is. And Lord, we all here, most of us here, do everything we can to protect our body. And Father, I pray that we will see that we've got an important part in this church. Just as we look at our body and we would not cut off a hand or a foot, those of us here that are active and strong would not look and say, well, we don't need them. We don't have any part of them. They don't know what they're doing. I pray that we'll find ways to work together. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.